And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up on the show tomorrow, it's Midday at the Movies Oscar Edition. Ace prognosticators Jed Dietz and Ann Hornaday will speculate, guess, and plead their case for who wins what at Sunday's Academy Awards. Plus, J. Wynn Russick reviews Forbidden Broadway's greatest hits at the Dundalk Community Theater. So that's on the way tomorrow here on Midday. And joining me now, two community leaders who are involved in a project to reimagine a retail space in Baltimore's Mondawmin Mall. The Target store there that closed in 2018 was purchased by Tim Regan, the CEO of the construction company Whiting Turner. Working with the CEO of Exelon, Calvin Butler, and a host of nonprofit and corporate partners, the space is being transformed into the Village at Mondawmin. And one of those partners is Joe Jones, the founder and CEO of the Center for Urban Families. Tim Regan and Joe Jones join me today here in Studio A. Tim, great to have you.
Thank you, Tom. Great to be here.
And Joe, great to have you back.
Tom, great to be here with Joanne Regan's husband.
That's right, the famous Joanne Regan's husband. So, Tim Regan, we should make clear that you purchased this this Target store, which had been vacant for, you know, some years, cost you $1 million, and this was something you did personally rather than as part of Whiting Turner, right?
That is correct, yeah. Whiting Turner's not in the development business. That's not a part of our business model. So Joanne and I actually bought the property.
And your relationship with Calvin Butler and the entity that you formed called Touchpoint Baltimore, what is that?
Yeah, so just to clarify, so Calvin is not literally involved in the commercial aspects of the Village at Mondawmin. He comes in through Touchpoint Baltimore. And so let me explain that, if I may.
Yeah.
So I had known Calvin for a few years prior to the death of Freddie Gray and all the trauma that went on at that time. And Calvin and I got together, like so many people did in Baltimore. And we decided we wanted to do something just completely different. And so we decided to stand up a community collaboration center on the west side. We chose Mondawmin because it was an easy place to be and to get and to rent a space. And so we stood up Touchpoint Baltimore. So Calvin and I are the founders of Touchpoint Baltimore. And it is a place where we collaborate with the community. And there it's the Greater Mondawmin Coordinating Council, which is the 8 neighborhoods that surround the mall area. And then nonprofit partners that we brought on board. So those are THREAD is our primary program partner.
And they work with high school kids, helping them through
absolutely
that experience,
yep,
right?
Yep. They bring kids into their program for 10 years, believe it or not. And then, of course, Joe and Center for Urban Families. And Joe and I have been friends for upwards of 15 years. And then Baltimore Corps. So those are our nonprofit partners. So that's all Touchpoint Baltimore. So the Village at Mondawmin was kind of an outgrowth of that, where I personally looked at the Target property and said, that looks like an opportunity to create an asset for the community.
And Joe Jones, the Center for Urban Families is right in that neighborhood. It's on the other side of Gwynns Falls Parkway from Mondawmin Mall. When that Target closed, and I live quite near there myself, so I used to shop there all the time. I'm less than 2 miles away. It was a dark day for that neighborhood and for that neck of the woods for all of us, because that was a very convenient place and resource to get a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, Tom, you're absolutely right. To make it personal and to make it, you know, put a human face on, my mom, who is 89 years old and at that time lived at the intersection of North and Warwick, right across from Coppin State College,
yeah, Coppin,
down the street. Mm-hmm. And so she needs a pharmacy that's accessible. The only pharmacy in the area that was accessible was in the Target store. So when it closed abruptly, it did leave a hole in the heart and soul of the community. And, you know, it took a lot for somebody to have a vision and to stick with it long enough to work with a corporate entity like Target to, you know, bring to life a vision that now is the Village.
Yeah, and why not another store? I mean, obviously, when it closed, I mean, I heard Mayor Pugh was the mayor at the time. I remember they were advancing the ideas of maybe a movie theater. I heard a bowling alley. I heard maybe we can convince Walmart to come. We can convince, you know, some other big box retailer to come. Why not a store with a pharmacy, et cetera?
Well, you could bring in a store, and you could bring in another box store if you want, and but, you know, from a community standpoint, there's something called trust, right? And Tim mentioned our relationship goes back, you know, around 15 years. I know him personally. I know his heart. I know his soul. I know his values. And when he talks about doing something, and when you hear about the collection of assets that will be co-located in the village, the communities, and it's not my word, the Greater Mondawmin Coordinating Council, made up of those neighborhood associations, all have been involved in that process, including, I wish it, you know, Tim or I could say that Tim was responsible for selecting the name. It actually came from Tim engaging with the community, saying, what should this name, what should this facility be named? And that's as a part of the community engagement and trust building that goes with why not a box store? Why not another corporate entity that's not located here? And we're talking about somebody whose family is dedicated to the vision for what that footprint at Mondawmin can look like.
Joe Jones is the founder and CEO of the Center for Urban Families. Tim Regan is with me as well. He's the CEO of the construction company Whiting Turner, but on his own, he's developing the Village at Mondawmin, which is in Mondawmin Mall, where the Target store used to be located. If you are familiar with that area, even if you're not familiar with that area, and you want to comment on this development project, which I personally think is extremely exciting, 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org. So, Tim Regan, what do you see as the potential for this? Joe mentioned, you know, all the different kinds of organizations that will be co-located in what used to be this store. There are corporate partners, there are nonprofit partners. How do you envision it? And the folks in the community with whom you've worked, how do they envision it?
Yeah, so we're making good progress on that front. But Tom, let me say first that Joe mentions the community, and, you know, somebody said it's better to be lucky than to be good. So, you know, being in the neighborhood for a number of years before Target closed gave us the opportunity to build trust and, you know, kind of family, if you will. Like when we got there, Jackie Caldwell was the president of GMCC, and then she termed out of that. And
that's the Greater Mondawmin Community Council.
Yes,
right?
I'm sorry, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Adeline Hutchinson took that role, but you got Pastor Frank Lance and Sheena Hamm and Mr. Brooks and Donna Cypress. They're just all the leaders that have been in those leadership roles for years. So we got to know them. And so when this opportunity came along, we sort of had some credibility that we were in it for the long haul. But to answer your question, you know, we always wanted to, you know, we sat down with the community and Joe was in the room and asked, what are the priorities? And we filled up whiteboards with ideas. But some of the big ones that came out were workforce development, career opportunities, health care, child care, some amenities like some retail and food and coffee and such. And so that's where we're heading now. So the first tenant that will open up shortly is the Edenbridge PACE facility, which is sort of a senior care, aging at home asset that is supported by Medicare and Medicaid. And people will be able to sign up for that out of the surrounding zip codes. And they can come during the day for all manner of healthcare consultations. They get a ride there, and then they get a ride back home. It's a beautiful model.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's going to work great. So that's the first one.
And, you know, that part about the ride couldn't be more important because, boy, that's such a barrier for so many folks because, you know, the public transportation system in our town, God bless it, is just not up to snuff, and on the west side in particular.
Well, I would encourage your listeners to look up PACE, which is Program of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly. It's a fabulous program, and that is what Edenbridge PACE will be at the Village. But then beyond that, you may have seen a few weeks ago, CareFirst signed up for a call center and a workforce training center, which is a big piece, 20,000 feet, they're taking there. So they're a huge partner of ours. We're very close to signing up one of the local healthcare institutions for primary care, which will also be a great asset, providing family care health services to people in the neighborhood without having to go to a hospital or to an emergency room.
Yeah. And, you know, access to healthcare, Joe Jones, access to food, grocery stores, these are the two things that we hear all the time about big challenges for our city, you know, that these food deserts and healthcare deserts. Of course, there's a ShopRite grocery store in the Mondawmin Mall. It's a transportation hub, you know.
Shoppers.
All, or Shoppers. Yeah, excuse me, Shoppers. All the, you know, the buses all go through there. The Center for Urban Families, you're going to have a satellite office or something. What are you all going to do?
Yeah, so Tim mentioned Care First as a partner. Currently, we are providing workforce training for West Baltimore residents for careers into Care First. So they come in as customer service reps, and that is a pathway to the broader career opportunities within Care First. We're currently doing that work training at Coppin State University, so that work will soon transfer over to the Village. So we'll now have a quality space, not that Coppin isn't, but it is more accessible because you have that multiple modes of transportation, meaning the buses and the subway stops. And then you also have access to the amenities in the mall, and shouldn't stop without continue without shouting out Romaine Smallwood, who's been nothing but a champion for the ability for us to pull off this stuff at Mondawmin. She's the mall manager.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Joe, you've won awards for the groundbreaking work you've done when it comes to workforce development, when it comes to working with families, when it comes to, you know, shoring up fatherhood, shoring mm-hmm. up, you know, all sorts of aspects of life. The workforce development model is complicated, isn't it? I mean, to say the least. What have you learned in all the years you've been doing this, and sort of perfecting the models? What have you learned are the biggest challenges and the things that really need to be, you know, zeroed in on?
Well, I don't know that I would call it complicated. I think it's rather practical. We have a society where we have over-criminalized communities of color, and so we have a high concentration of people that live in a footprint around Mondawmin who are returning citizens, both men and women. And for a lot of them, they're locked out of the traditional labor market. So for us, it's getting them to believe that they can play the American game and get connected to the labor force. And there are certain sectors that will, you know, they are prohibited from participating in because of a criminal record. So you also have to have advocacy efforts around policy change. Changes are necessary to make it more conducive for hiring returning citizens. And I'm proud and honored to say that Whiting Turner, although the Village is separate from Tim's business day job, right, that we have a pipeline into Whiting Turner. So we have people who are earning career wages at Whiting Turner who get the benefit of coming out of the community. So when you say it's complicated, it is in one sense, but when you give people belief and hope and a structure in the sense of how you conduct yourself in the workforce, but also give them access to real opportunities in the workforce, like we're doing with Whiting Turner, and the opportunities for West Baltimore residents, like we're doing with Care First, then you really have a chance to really change the dynamics of a community when those people, the majority of whom are parents, and also then translate that workforce behavior to their children.
Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to belief and hope, just looking at the mock-ups, the drawings of what this is all going to look like when it's completed is enough to spur hope in anybody checking it out. Joe Jones is the founder and CEO of the Center for Urban Families, one of the partners who's developing the Village at Mondawmin. Tim Regan is the co-founder of Touchpoint Baltimore and the developer of the Village at Mondawmin. It's on Baltimore's west side. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have more with Tim Regan and Joe Jones after that break. You are welcome to join us. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. I'm Tom Hall. Stick around.
I'm Al Waller.
I'm Catherine Collinson.
And I'm Mihaela Vince.
In upcoming episodes of Clear Path, Your Roadmap for Life, We'll discuss ways to catch up on retirement savings and the importance of self-care. Tune in to WYPR's website and mobile app, all major podcast platforms, and transamericainstitute.org.
This is Baltimore's NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, it's Midday on Development. We're talking about the Village at Mondawmin, a new center at the site of the Target store that closed in 2018 that will serve as a community hub for the neighborhoods that comprise the Mondawmin community on Baltimore's west side. It'll contain nonprofit and corporate offices, job training centers, dining, shopping. Tim Regan is the CEO of the Whiting Turner Contracting Company. That's his day job. And his other job, he is developing this very, very adventurous and interesting project. Joe Jones is the founder and CEO of the Center for Urban Families. His organization is one of several nonprofits who are partners in this project. So they join me here in Studio A, and you are welcome to join us as well. 410-662-8780, our email midday at WYPR.org. So, Tim Regan, you mentioned maybe some shopping opportunities in this new development and some food establishments, some restaurants. It's always driven me nuts that in our zip code, 21217, which is the zip code that includes Mondawmin Mall, there is one sit-down restaurant. It's a TGIF that's in Mondawmin on the other side of the mall itself. It's separate from the mall. And that's crazy. You know, that is just crazy. So tell us what other kinds of things. We've talked about the nonprofits. We've talked about Care First and PACE and some of the other organizations. Even Whiting Turner is going to have a satellite office there, right? What else do you think are you envisioning?
Yeah, that's right. So mentioned PACE, Care First, primary care. There's going to be a child care facility, which is very important, not just for folks who will work in the building, but also hopefully there'll be a number of spots for the local neighborhood residents. Touchpoint itself, which is currently in a rental space on the other side of the mall, will increase in size from 8,000 square feet to 25,000 square feet. So it will be triple its current size.
And Touchpoint is the entity that's the developer of the project?
No.
What does Touchpoint do?
Touchpoint is the nonprofit that stood up by Whiting Turner and BGE. That's what Calvin Butler and I founded. And it is the place where Thread calls their home and Baltimore Core calls their home. So that is their home base. And Whiting Turner and BGE and Center for Urban Families, we have programming there where we do community events. So for example, tonight I have a mentoring group. I don't know whether Joe's making it tonight or not.
I'll be there.
Okay. Joe's a part of our group. So we'll have 20 high school boys that come to us through Harlem Lacrosse. And we meet with these boys and have dinner once a month. And we just talk about life and, you know, give them advice on where to go, talk about their issues and problems. This particular group comes from Poly, from City, from ACE, and a sprinkling of other schools around town. So we have our nonprofits that do programming at Touchpoint, but we also do our own kind of corporate programming there as well.
So, Joe Jones, when we look on some of the other places on the west side, like Sandtown Winchester, before the uprising in 2015, like between, I think, 1989 and 1999, it's estimated that about $130 million was invested in Sandtown. And since the uprising in 2015, following the death of Freddie Gray, there's been even more, Lord knows how many millions. And yet you drive through Sandtown and it's hard to identify, you know, really palpable, demonstrable change from what it looked like 42 years ago when I first moved here to Baltimore. What makes this one different? When you think about, you know, how the investments have been, the investments that have been tried, particularly on the west side in general, the Village at Mondawmin, it's different. And how so?
I think it's different because of the person. Right? The person and the community and the relationship between the two. You, Tim mentioned it, but I don't think we should gloss over. Before Tim Purchase target before the village was a reality. The time he spent in the community, walking the streets of the community, getting to know people, us sitting together, having conversations, helped to lay the foundation for why something this personal to him and his wife, to him and the community, is the reason why this is different. So you don't have somebody that's coming from the outside thinking about doing something that's being done from a distance. You've got somebody that has been a community partner, hand in hand from the very beginning. I don't know that there's any decision that I am aware of that Tim has introduced that hasn't been vetted by the community, right? In the community, for example, the name. There was a struggle over the name, right? And there were voices that said, no, we don't like this version of the name. We want to see the village. And I was one, I selected another name, right? And the community voice went out. So when you think about that, you know, who in corporate America does things that way, right? So that's why I come back to the person, the trust, right? The value-driven propositions that are associated with the relationship with the community. That's the big differential.
And the name is The Village at Mondawmin. So Tim Regan, you very generously purchased the building. Spent $1 million, you and your wife, but it's going to cost a lot more to develop it. So where does that money come from? Where are people investing in this? And what's your pitch to them? I mean, is it, come on, put your money in this, you'll make a bunch of money back? Or is it, you know, this is the right thing to do for folks who've long been neglected and marginalized?
Well, I think both. I think both. So you set me up for an important point, and that is the Village at Mondawmin is a for-profit operation. And it's a for-profit operation not so much because I need to make more money, although I need to not lose money, but it's set up that way because I would love for it to be proven as a model to be able to, you know, kind of like take a leap of faith into a community that has been, you know, largely ignored for a long time and unlock the potential that's in that community. The human potential that has been sort of undervalued for generations, but also economic potential. And that plays out in the form of careers, not just jobs, but careers, entrepreneurs that can start businesses, and just a lot of vitality and development in the business. So I really would like for people to look at the village and say, wow, how did that happen? Somebody, you know, put the key in the lock and turned it, and now suddenly there's all kinds of things going on in the neighborhood, and everybody's thriving, from the senior who's been there for 40 years to maybe a young person who's a new homeowner in one of those beautiful historic row houses in Mondawmin. And so that's the kind of model we're looking to demonstrate.
And Joe Jones, you know, when we talk about potential, that has been a fundament of your work for, what, 25 years now with the Center for Urban
God Families. Bless, 25
yeah,
years this
yeah,
year.
God bless indeed. Because you take folks who have often been marginalized and told, oh, you don't have any potential, you can't do that, and you say, yes, you have a potential as a father, you have a potential as a person who can support his or her family, you have a potential to be a constructive member of society. This center, it seems to me, is going to be a visual representation of the potential of all of those folks whom you've been working with for a quarter of a century.
You're right, man. You know, I think there's two equations related to this, right? One is hope and, you know, and love. And those are emotions that are hard to quantify, right? But you know them, and when you feel them and when you see them, right?
They don't show up in the spreadsheets often.
There's no randomized controlled trial for these, right? But you know, thinking about like Santorio, and I won't say his last name because he didn't give me permission, although he's given me permission to talk about it a lot of times, right? Santorio was a young man, served nearly a decade in prison, came through our workforce program, was ready to quit a couple times. We grabbed him and pulled him back, said, nope, you're not going to quit. We've got you. He also graduated and then wanted to take an entry-level job, which he was prepared to do. But through the pipeline with Whiting Turner, we were able to get him over into that pipeline. So he's now there as an assistant superintendent. A couple years ago, he and his fiance, they got married. They have two babies together. They have one child together, and then they're raising another child through a separate union. And in a couple of weeks, they will be signing an estate plan. So in addition to what he's been able to do in this pathway through Whiting Turner, we've been able to secure funding from the Able Foundation to go towards home ownership closing costs. So they were able to purchase a home in East Baltimore, in Baltimore City, right? And through our financial education series, which concludes with estate planning education, they will have a full comprehensive estate plan that will then transfer the wealth that they've accumulated to their families. Well, right? That's the model.
Yeah. On that incredible note of hope, we will leave this conversation, but we will stay in touch as this project moves forward. Tim Regan, Joe Jones, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And good luck with this project. It's exciting.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Tom.
Pleasure.
Tim Regan's the founder of Touchpoint Baltimore, the co-founder and the developer of the Village at Mondawmin, and Joe Jones is the founder and CEO of the Center for Urban Families. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, Anne Hornaday of the Washington Post and Jed Dietz of the Maryland Film Festival join me for the annual Oscar edition of Midday at the Movies, and Jay Wynn Russick will review a new show at the Dundalk Community Theater. A reminder, next Tuesday, we'll have a Midday Town Hall with Governor Wes Moore. You can call 410-735-1616 to leave a question for the governor and be happy to pose it to him when he shows up next Tuesday. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
This is Baltimore's NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.